Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 20th day of January 2019. We're going to look at the word relevance. What does it mean? Am I relevant? I'm an old goat. So we'll see if I'm relevant or not. I want to remind you that as you listen to these beautiful radio programs, at least I hope you find them beautiful, that they are there only because of the kindness in the hearts of some people who chose to be sponsors last year and helped save this program. I am deeply grateful to them. And, of course, our mystery donor who matched those donations and made it possible. But still, this is an ongoing thing. You know, it's just like it goes on and on and on, this need for paying bills and people, you know, not doing it and finding relevancy in what they give and to whom they give. And this is a very big issue with human beings. Who do I give my money to? Yada, yada, yada. There are plenty of causes for all of this in this world. There really are. There's a whole lot of us that try to do a great deal of good for society, for people. I do hospice work as well as all the other things I do. And I am sure you can think to yourself, well, that's not putting food in the mouth of somebody who's hungry. But there are many, many institutions that do that. What I do is offer to you a way to see the bigger picture of your life, and then you will be able to serve more people in this world. Once you understand the relevancy of your own heart to your life, you will see the power of what it means to have a sense of consciousness, a sense of love, and a sense of nobility towards people who might need your help. There's a lot of people in this world that don't help that could. And it's sad to say that that's really what our society is all about. So when you give a gift to Aspire, you're helping me to serve those who are dying, those who are struggling with their life, considering even life and death. You have no idea how messed up it is out there. It's a great deal of confusion and hate. And Aspire opens up the door. It feeds the heart. It shows you how to live in the heart. It may not feed your stomach, but eventually it feeds the eternal part of you. And it does help people give to those causes, believe it or not. It's a long and involved story, and everything is very integral, and everything weaves into this and weaves out of that in this lifetime. So it's never just one thing, it's many things. I hope you will consider being a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see how to become a sponsor. And you can take our little survey if you like, and that will help us a great deal as well. And you can take a deep look into your own heart and ask yourself, what am I doing to help humankind? It's an important thing. Relevancy. It is a very subjective concept. What is relevant to you? Is this radio program relevant to you? Is what I talk to you about relevant to you? And if it is, why? And if it's not, why? And if you really look at it, it has to do with bias. How biased are you? What are you biased about? And bias has a lot to do with our sense of strategy and our genetic nature, our DNA. It's for most of us all about what keeps us surviving. Relevancy and survival are two fundamentally very important states of mind that we get involved in. And I think it is very sad, but it is very true that most people have little or no relevancy towards love. Not at all. They think that love is emotional and you feel it when you feel it, and you don't when you don't. And if someone has to make you feel it, somebody has to kind of tickle the chords of your sentimentality and all of that in order to be relevant. So I share with you this first from Jackson. Let's just get into it. This man is very interesting person. He wrote me a long email, and I condensed it down to his last paragraph where he says, "How relevant are you, Greg? How relevant are your teachings? They do not seem to fit into my life for sure, and I'm sure they don't in others, Jackson." He doesn't tell me where he lives. I'm not here to fit into your life. I'm not here presenting to you a lifestyle that fits into your lifestyle. You know, when you read the great teachings from masters like the Buddha or Lao Tzu or Jesus, you realize they live totally different than anyone else on the planet. They live totally different. Their lives are not based on the premise of survival. They have awakened inside. They have found the way inside, the way to the heart, the way to the authentic, as I like to call it. So a lot of people will say, in skepticism of that, based on their biases and their prejudices, well, how do I know that exists? If you're still in that modality, Jackson, then you're not going to be relevant to anything I have to say, and I'm not going to be relevant to anything you want to hear. So I understand that. Everybody's got their bias, their premise, their speculations, their suspicions. Everybody does. You have to come to a point of relevance in this way. It must be very clear to you, one way or another, Jackson, that you don't have many options. In this world, the only options that most people have are the options of whether or not they do or they don't. They do whatever they're going to do to get what they want, or they don't. And it becomes extremely painful, at least for me, to watch people make those decisions that eventually harm them. I'm not here to sell you anything. This isn't snake oil that I am selling to you here. That's not my brand. I am offering to you insights. Some of those insights, Jackson, are going to ping in you, and you're going to get them. And you're going to go, oh, yes, I know that. Yes. But a great many more are not. Because in our society, we are only looking for survival. In our society, we are only looking for right over wrong, good over bad. And that, again, is very subjective to the person. Inner work is not for everyone. It's not meant to be. It's relevant to those who have had enough, who have hungered and thirst, as Jesus talked about, for righteousness. They can see this cycle of birth and death and birth and death and birth and death is not the way. And they can recognize it for what it is, and they can see it for what it is, and they don't engage in it like most people do. Most of us engage in the things that harm us, not the things that heal us or bring us to awareness. We listen to our emotions, we follow our passions, we develop inside of ourselves opinions through all of those, and then we set the bias into motion, our personal biases about things, and we think that's good enough. And we look around at other people, and we see what we believe they're doing or what we believe they're not doing, and think to ourselves, well, I'm as good as that person, or they're doing this, or they're not doing that, or whatever. People are just looking for two things in life. One is to survive, and two is to be happy. That's it. Most people are not looking beyond survival and happiness. And happiness is relative, again, once you really look at it, to a person's background, their bias of their humanity, their genetic nature, their DNA. You're only as good in this world as your body tells you you are. So when you look at all of this, you see the futility of it if you're intelligent. And you start to understand, well, gee, is this all there is? Do you know, at my work in hospice, I have people who are actually surprised they are dying. They are absolutely surprised. And in that surprise of their dying, they're also very much surprised, and come to find out, that they didn't live a very good life. They always look at it, and how they evaluate it is how many people are around that deathbed. They'll evaluate it as how many people they think loved them. They didn't love themselves, as it were, in a classic manner. So they begin to look around and say, well, where are all the people that love me? Where are all the people that I did good things for, that I loved? And then they realize, gee whiz, there's not a lot of them, or blah, blah, blah. Everybody has an excuse for not being there. And they start to look at their lives from the point of view of futility. Do you know how many deathbed confessions I've heard in my 45 years of being a teacher, of my 30 years of being in a hospice? I'll tell you, it is amazing. And they all say the same thing. What happened? What happened? Jackson, I'm not relative to you yet, and I have no relevancy with you probably because you're 22 years old, okay? And I understand that. How much life have you lived in 22 years? How many ups and downs and ins and outs have you had? I don't know. But to a person who has had a great many ins and outs and sees the way in which life works, according to the level of love that lives within us and the karma we have invoked and enacted in our life, you don't see the relevancy of meditation. You don't see the relevancy of inner work, of spiritual awakening, as it were, as an alternative to the things that you have done and lived inside yourself that have been, shall we say, less than kind, noble, heartfelt. Real heartfelt, not emotional heartfelt. So one day, I guarantee you, one day, Jackson, in either this life or some other, this is all going to be relative to you, and this is all going to be very important to you. It just is the way it is. And the ox is slow, but the earth is patient, as one of my students said. And I believe that is probably one of the most wise statements a person can understand. I am the ox, and the earth is life, love, the whole thing. It's very patient with us, very patient. Jackson, I wish you well. I'm grateful you listen to the radio programs and that you watch the TV programs, even though you don't think they're relevant to you. They are. Go take a look at What's the Point of It All, the ones we've just put up. I think you'll find them maybe interesting, especially talking about meditation part and some of the meditation things I offer at retreats. Please forgive me. Namaste. Here's one from Carol. She does not tell me where she lives. Greg, I really love you. Can you make your TV talks more relevant to society, Carol? Then she goes into a litany of what I should do, most of it being political. Carol, everything I've ever done on Aspire, from day one to this day, is all about the same thing. And if you really listen to the TV programs, you will see my message, though spoken here, there, and everywhere, is still the same. And it is about waking up. The relevancy of my TV programs are in proportion to the level of your intelligence, the way you listen to them. Should always listen to what people have to say without bias. You should just listen without trying to understand them. If you just listen without your understanding, especially when I'm trying to do something on Aspire, you will start to understand beyond your understanding. You will start to understand and feel what is beyond the concept and the perimeters of your genetic understanding. What do you think Aspire is all about? It's about the breath of spirit that lives within you. The kind of crap that's going on in the world today, both politically and socially, is the same stuff that was going on when I was filming those. And it's the same stuff that was going on for thousands of years. How could it be any more relevant than that? We're still at war. We're still living in rumors of wars. We still hate each other. We still have biases with each other, prejudices, fears, anger. What more could... What are you saying? I've given you everything. Everything to work upon. The trouble is that your ears, your mind, is not relevant to the work that needs to be done within you. You're not looking at your life. You're not looking at the work of your life. You're not looking at the cognitive mindset that you're in that is deploring the idea of having to change. People don't want to change. They want everything easy, quick, and simple. And if they get everything easy, quick, and simple, they think that they have found the right philosophy for them. People are concerned about negative thoughts in their brain. You know, you're going to have them. What do you think was the payback for every gratification you ever had? When you and I sold ourselves out for some concept like, well, I just want to eat, drink, and be merry for the rest of my life. Or I just want to have a happy life with a husband, a wife, children, and a home. You think it all boils down to that that's all there is to this world, this lively experience, is just things like that? It's not. There's far more. You're involved in this world. You're also involved in your own life. And if you can understand what that means about being involved in your life, you will understand that the relevancy of what you hear on Aspire is as true today as it will be in 100 years. You just want answers. You want something new. You don't want to hear, you have to let love live you. You have to forgive those who have persecuted you. You have to be humble. You don't want to hear all of those things. The teachings of Buddha are amazing. His Eightfold Path says it all. The Dhammapada is a masterpiece. The greatest teachings in the world, the Beatitudes. I've covered all of these and many, many more, the Tao. If you can't hear it in those things, in those teachings, you're never going to hear it at all. And you have to understand that's just the way you live, in the relevancy of your fears, in the relevancy of your anger, the relevancy of your emotionality, the relevancy of your genetic disposition. People never question that. And that's why the world is where the world is and why the world is the way the world is, because we never question. We never look at ourselves and say, what is it about me that makes all this possible? How do you know you're looking at life and living and people from the relevancy of consciousness? You don't. And for the most part, people, Carol, don't care. They just care about, how do I make my problems go away and make only the good things I want come into my life? On the Beatitudes, Jesus never said, you know, happiness is going to be yours. He said in the Gnostic Gospels, once you find, you will be troubled. And the troubled is that you find out you and I have lived, we have lived willfully away from the way of the heart. So when you see all these tragedies on TV and all these difficulties occurring in the world, please understand you're as much a part of that as I am, as anyone is. We live in this world where there is a tremendous need for healing, for change, for transformation. And if you don't live in a transformational way, you are subject to the consequences of your own ignorance. And that's just the way it is. Even in our laws that govern driving and everything, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And it is true. I must awaken. I must begin to understand. And this goes way beyond the ability for most people to have any sense of, well, what do I want to say? Mental acuity to understand. Because our acuities have been dummied down by entertainment and sports and religion and philosophy of government and all that stuff we miss. So, Carol, they're already made relevant. The problem is, are you? Are you relevant to what is being spoken there and trying to help you? That's your cause. I hope that helps you. I'm sure the last line didn't, but there you are. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question is an interesting one. Jim, let me see where it is. He does from Virginia. He says, do you think that enlightenment is necessary in our world today? Jim. Necessary? No. I mean, I'd love to see us all awakened. Of course, we wouldn't probably be here doing the things we're doing, but is it necessary? This is, again, a relevant question to the person. It might not be to these people, and those people, but it might be for thee and me. And what makes enlightenment relative to a person? When does it become important? Only when you see the futility of your life. When you see the futility of your life and how you and I have lived it without any consideration for spiritual awakening or the willingness to see the bigger picture of your life and understand the nature of your heart. There you are. I think it's all relative to the person who's had enough, who has absolutely seen the futility. The first steps on the path are to realize the futility of living the way we do and to actually be troubled by it. Yeah. Troubled. In other words, to allow it to bug you enough to want to change, to do something different, to live in a lifetime where you're not living just for the relevance of your genetic nature and what your forefathers did. Doesn't it bother you that you're living genetically? That scientifically you're just living the life of your genetic heritage and that's it? Your life will be no better than theirs? You're living like a caveman or a cavewoman, you know? Just a... keep body and body together. And the soul has nothing to do with anything in our lives. We don't even know what a soul is. We only imagine we do. That's why I'm working with this with my students. I think that spiritual awakening is not for everyone because they have karma and they have to live out their life the way they need to live it out and to suffer the consequences of that before they can come to a place where they utterly give up in the futility of their ego and seek a different way of living. It's a long, arduous process for most of us. But for those of us who have even got the slightest hint of all of this, it is more than worth it to practice the relevancy of love in our life. There are no cures for the human blues, my dear one. None whatsoever. I'm out of here. Please forgive me. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back next weekend. Thank you for your loving thoughts, support, and questions. Have a wonderful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.